Hey guys, before we get started, I just wanted to tell you about our super awesome sponsor, MicMe, M-I-C-M-E. And while you're creating valuable content, they can make you sound amazing. They do custom podcast intros and outros, and they do editing. Their website is micme.com, M-I-C-M-E.com, and you can get 10% off your first intro and outro with the promo code SHEPODCASTS, with the S on the end, all one word. So go ahead and check that out. micme.com. Let us know what you think. Hello, Miss Elsie.
Hello, Jess.
How you doing?
I'm good. We're gonna try it again in the room of the Lego explosion. So maybe this time nobody comes. What do you think?
I can't wait to see how it goes. Who knows what'll show up? That's what's great.
Exactly.
It's a total mystery, and that's
a little rough.
I love it.
It's a little rough when you do things like this. Oh my god!
So, lots of stuff going on, mostly about Apple.
Yes, I know. It's kind of insane.
All the Apple things happening. Good week for it. No week is a good week to hear that your charts don't mean diddly.
Right. But you know, yeah. I guess you know what this is with. Shall we just transition straight into news then? Let's do it.
Do we have anything else of note that we wanted to talk about before we get into news? Or
I mean, other than the fact that the E-League begins today, as you're hearing this, and if you lost the boat or you...
Wonderful!
Then yeah. So I feel that today is going to be a jam-packed day for me. Many things are happening. There's tons of conversation. It's very exciting, but obviously that's happening to future Elsie, not present Elsie. So future Elsie is having a very busy day today.
Nice. Well, I'm sorry, future Elsie. Let me know if I can help with anything on that day.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't think that there's anything.
All right. Well, let's get into the news then. Let's just do
All right.
It.
Let's do it.
The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news. Okay. Let's get in it to win it, shall we?
Let's get in it to win it. Yeah, I know. And so here's what's going on, guys. And I think, last episode we chatted about the whole, Apple's new podcast feed tags. We actually had a really... great conversation around measuring downloads, download numbers and measuring success and all of that kind of stuff. So we talked a lot about Apple and MP3 versus AAC and what they want you to do and marketing practices and all of this kind of stuff. But then as of late, there have been, I think in the past, as of last week when you guys are listening, there were at least three separate articles published around the fact that, the ranking tables, what are they called? The charts, the podcast charts for Apple Podcasts are totally screwed. So what do you have to say about that, Jessica Kupperman?
That's terrible.
Ramona,
I think
makes it.
I have to say that anybody who has been measuring themselves in this way should have stopped doing it a long time ago, like a really long time ago, maybe the first time we said it was not working out,
right?
Like, because people were able to game it. I mean, that's not really news. We've been talking about that since the summer or even earlier. It's interesting because Iman Jalali of Court Junkie, she says there's human beings that want to say things like, I have the number one business podcast and number two overall in iTunes at random conferences. But tough poodles, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, why don't you say something else? Like, I have a really successful podcast and just be done with it. Why does it have to be number one, number two, number four of all? Why do you have to label yourself and tag yourself that way? It's all about ego.
It's how people judge themselves, or that's how people show that they have influence, because we're number two in iTunes, which is now poo-poo caca.
Right. But here's the problem there, John, is that we as a collective, that's what we actually started to use. Like, those are the terms we were using as podcasters. We gave that power. we somehow, in the way that we were communicating with each other, started to give away that power to this entity, which actually does have a lot of great functionality in terms of charts, right? In terms of having the charts. But the, I guess, being able to write it down on your, or say it, would be kind of like the same thing. You know how people on their websites, and Jess, I know that, I think you might have your, this on your website too. I know that lots of people, especially influencers, have that, where they have those little icons for all the different places that you've been, like as seen on Entrepreneur or as seen on.
Yes, I have that. I've been seen on Entrepreneur. Okay, well, that's not the same as having to rank yourself in a system that doesn't even include all your traffic.
Right. But what I'm saying is, like, that would be kind of cool to just do something like that, as seen in Apple Podcasts. Or something along those lines, because...
Well, but everyone's seen an Apple. It's like saying, I've seen on the internet.
But there's a lot of people who use that as seen an Entrepreneur, and really it's been a mention, like you were mentioned on in a line, or you had a quote on an article. Right. But whoever's reading that,
that counts,
doesn't know
doesn't
that. It? So then I think that that's enough. Like, it's a way for you to use and leverage that so that people pay attention, but it's not a reflection of anything valuable, right? Because the value that comes from being featured in all of these different places isn't just there. I mean, there's been lots of people who have been featured on Forbes or have been featured on all of these other wonderful websites. And what does it actually do for you other than provide another little icon to put on your website?
But the thing is, if you're listening to this show, then you are a podcaster that wants to be in the know. And if you listen to other shows that talk about this, then you want to be a podcaster in the know. If you don't listen to shows like this, how will you know? Because we still have people saying, please share, and that's good, but please go to iTunes and write a 5-star review, because that helps us in the rankings, which now we know are garbage, which mean nothing. And you say that to people and they go, well, so really what they should say is, please go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review and write a review, because it feeds my ego. Because that's what it does. It does nothing else. It's proven now. It does nothing else but feed your ego. Can we say that now?
I love this ending paragraph from Nick.
I love it too.
He says, let me check myself here. Would that it were so simple for me to baldly state that none of this should stand. It's ridiculous for the charts to be this bonkers, and Apple should do better. The reality is that managing something as complex as the Apple podcast platform is very hard. Podcasting is a minor concern for Apple. Their historical status as a benevolent ward of podcasting growth can be interpreted as unexpected. Given these two realities, I don't really feel particularly legitimate and pressing on the question of whether Apple Podcasts has a responsibility to provide its constituency with systems that are more reliable. In other words, if they don't give a fuck, why do we?
Exactly.
Let me just sum it on up. Like, they don't give a fuck. Apple doesn't care about us. So we have to stop ranking ourselves based on them. It just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. And I think that that's a really wonderful perspective. And again, I just want to make sure that credit is due. That is Nick Kwa from his Hot Pot newsletter. He, what he released, this latest one that I'm going to link to in the show notes here, I thought he did a wonderful job at encapsulating all of the different things. And he did it in a way that was as neutral as he possibly could have been, with a really logical point of view. So it wasn't just like, this is evil. You know, it really was, we are the ones that are imparting this. Now, there was an article that I just linked to our show notes that came out for Apple Insider. So this is in addition to all of the other ones that came out on the same day, which is weird. All of them were published on Tuesday, October 9th, almost every single one of these.
Yeah.
And this one says it's Apple seemingly aware of alleged top podcast chart manipulation. And what I like about this one is also the last part, the last quote, and it's a quote of a quote. So this is a quote for Goldberg, summarized segment sentiment on the issue in a tweet last week. Quote, podcasters, please stop using these charts as validation. Advertisers, don't base your rates on chart rankings. Listeners, there are tons of great podcasts out there. Don't rely high on these charts, end quote, he said.
Let's just establish this now. There is no chart that is accurate.
Yep.
Not PodSearch, not PodTrack, not Apple, not Stitcher, not Spreaker, not any of them, not Blueberry. Nope. There's no chart that will give you the answer as to who is the best. You're just going to have to deal with it. Stop it right now. That's it.
But I want a chart.
All of them are skew. PodTrack is skew because not every show is in PodTrack. How is that a real chart? It's not. It can't be. Nobody right. has control over everyone's RSS feed enough to truly chart them. Certainly not Apple. I mean, except for Apple, and they don't care.
Right.
So
and also,
we don't care.
And again, you know, a lot of these charts are based on random data points that are, I would say that as a data point, they are valuable, right? As a data point, meaning how many subscribers, how many download numbers, listening information, meaning how long people listen to a podcast. I think that those are valuable data points. The thing that I'm not in agreement with is that just because you have more of that, meaning you have 1 million subscribers versus 500 subscribers, it doesn't necessarily mean that your show cannot be profitable and successful and a viable platform.
Right. That's very
right?
true.
It doesn't, because there are some people who are making quite a good amount of money based on a smaller amount of volume, whether it be downloads, whether it be subscribers, whatever, but because it's positioned in a very specific place, in a very specific way of dealing with their show, it's different. And also, again, something like She Podcasts can have a lot more success with a very compact audience than something that is like, we don't appeal to everybody, nor do we want to, because really? I mean, honestly, right. It's like, I just don't think that that's something that I would even advise to somebody to be able to just like, oh, this is a show for everybody. I don't think so. It's very specific and it's very nuanced. And I think that that's fine. But if you do have a show that is a little bit more on the pop culture side of things, you are addressing kind of like, I guess, more of the things that are happening. I don't know, Game of Thrones comes up because it's such a part, I think, of a lot of people's love of things. Mm-hmm. Then it could possibly have a larger audience. You have a built-in audience already that's going to be much larger, right? So,
yeah, true crime. Anyhow. You started true crime, you're going to have immediate. If you go start a true crime podcast and go into social media and said, I started a new true crime podcast, they will flock to it. People can't get enough of them. Can't get enough of them.
That is true.
And see, the other thing too, Jess, is I was just saying, and I'm going to mention this in our tool tips and stuff, but this is what I feel we need to get to in podcasting as well. Like sometimes whenever we're looking for content, whether it is entertainment or anything, or maybe just learning, education, solution, finding some kind of solution for something, in getting the E-League together, I have a worldwide group of women, right? So they are all over the place. And one of the hardest problems or challenges that I have is in trying to find times where the majority of the women are available for everybody, including myself. And I don't really necessarily like this stuff that's online. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go look for an app for that. I didn't go necessarily into the app store to look for this solution. Actually, I went first to my computer to find this solution. I went and go like, oh, what can I find for a time tracker kind of thing? Or I started to find some keywords that would kind of give me an idea of what to look for. I got articles around being able to create meetings, worldwide meetings. I learned a lot. And then I found an article that kind of mentioned some apps. And that's when I went into the app store and was like, I'm going to search for these. And then even then, it was in the results in the app store that I actually chose something that wasn't mentioned on the computer or on these articles. And I made a decision. That's the way that I feel people are going to be looking for content themselves. You're looking for something. You go out of your way to search for it. It doesn't matter where you go. You're going to end up finding it because it means that much to you. If you don't really care, you're not going to find it.
Right.
I think the best way to find a podcast or for podcasters to promote each other is to tell somebody about a podcast that you love and you're listening to and that you find entertaining and something that you listen to for yourself. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, for me, if I hear someone say, oh, I was listening to this podcast and I'm like, oh, all right, I'm right there. I go right over. I immediately search it. I immediately look at it and give it a listen to see if it's something I would like. I found more podcasts to listen to by that than any other way that I've tried looking at charts. I've tried going to Apple and going through the comedy and going through and clicking each one and listening. I'm like, this is not me. This isn't me. This isn't me. But then if someone that has a show that I like and they say, here's a show that they like, I'm like, well, this might be something that I also like. And mm-hmm. I've had more success doing that. So get together with some of your peeps and promote each other. It's the best way to share your audience because your podcast comes out usually once a week for an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And then what else are they going to listen to?
I feel like the part of this is that's newsworthy is not that they're wrong because we already kind of knew they were wrong.
Not everybody.
I mean, we've been talking about it for a while, ever since that service came out where you could give them $2,000 to be in the top 10, you knew that they were wrong because they were being gamed.
Right.
So like they haven't been right for a while. I think the part that's newsworthy is that people were not able to find the episodes of their show in Apple. They just weren't showing up for whatever reason. And now that there's all these things happening in the chart and that while Apple might be aware of it, they're not really doing much about it. That part is the news part, I think. They're just not doing much about it. And there's nothing we can do to make them do something about it. Am I wrong?
Correct. And I think that has to be something. I'm not sure that idea has really landed.
Isn't that why we're reporting on it, though, and everyone's talking about it? It's not because it's gamified. It's because it's now severely broken and messed up, and no one's fixing it, nor do they care to. That's the part that I think is interesting.
So you can say that Apple Podcasts means more to us as podcasters than it means to Apple as a platform.
Yes.
Right. What it means to Apple is that, I mean, just bottom line, is that people,
money.
They want people to use their stuff, right? So they want to sell more iPhones. They want to have you use their apps. They want you to use the ecosystem that they have built because it's how they make their money. I mean, this is the bottom line is that this is a business. And then this is something that has sort of gotten much bigger than they had previously thought. It was really just, they just put it up there. It's a service, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just going to take a little bit of time for them to either say, yes, we would like to serve and this population that is sort of upset about this, or we can continue just to really keep doing what we're doing. What's the bottom line for them? Would this make
it? If they decide that they want to serve us, they're going to charge us.
Right. I have a feeling that that's probably what's going to start to happen there. Because mind you, it's already happened. Did you not see in the marketing practices, you can actually buy ads? You can buy ads for, I think it's, I forgot what it's called, but you can buy ads in Apple Podcasts.
But they're not charging podcasters yet. What I'm saying is the reason why they don't care or to fix it or aren't fixing it yet is because we don't make them any money. The whole reason podcasts were put up together in the first place was so that somebody would know what to do with their iPod besides put all their music on it, which is just another thing to put all your music
on. To sell the stuff. Yeah, to sell their stuff.
It was to sell their stuff. And so now that they've done like this like marketing help for podcasters, the whole thing was a commercial for their own stuff. Use our file type. Use our system. Put it in, none of it was actual help. It was all just a big commercial. Maybe it was a little helpful, but it was mostly a big commercial. And again, like he's right in saying now that it's broken, what are we going to do? And the answer is continue on the way we have been because they've never cared about it.
But see, here's the other bit of news. But because I think there's two things. One thing is that this got a lot of coverage. So there were three separate articles, which I'll put down there, meaning in that same day, James Cridlin from Pod News did a really nice summation of all of this from one point of view for Medium. Then Nick Kwa, who has a very popular newsletter, and he is a pundit for The Space, Ari, the corporate podcasting space, most likely. But still, it was a very thought-provoking piece. And then Apple Insider, who also did that. And Apple Insider, well, it's Apple Insider. That has nothing to do with podcasts. That's not an industry thing, meaning the podcasting industry thing.
True, but you haven't mentioned any national news sources. You've only mentioned industry news. So it's not really getting that much attention.
But Apple doesn't really pay that much attention to the national stuff. They do pay attention to the conversation that's happening in places like Macworld and Apple Insider and Mac Stories. And all of those are very specific, very well-known, and very well-frequented publications that are, in fact, impacting Apple, right, in that space. That's what they report on. So these pundits do have a voice, and there's a lot of them that are, for sure, listened to by far, because their punditry or their support of their systems, meaning either iOS or maybe the latest OS for Mac, is for sure, they take a lot of the criticism or the feedback that these pundits have, because these pundits pay a lot of attention to this stuff. It's not just like, oh, I don't like Mojave. I don't like it. No, they'll tell you, I don't like it because, and then they'll make a list with screenshots and in-depth reasons as to why it didn't work, and it didn't work for me because of this. And so in that respect, I do feel that it's important. But the other thing is that Apple is now getting into a position where they could possibly lose the number one spot, with Spotify meaning coming up, Google Podcasts supporting,
that's right,
other platforms also kind of getting into the game. We don't know what the next big one is going to be in there that is actually going to start to push. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen...
Right, but Spotify wants to be in this space. Apple doesn't.
Correct. And I think a lot of the industry, obviously Google Podcasts, it has been present and in attendance wanting to find out how to do things. And I'm sure that there's going to be more coming into the scene that are making a play because they recognize that people are listening now. They want to keep that, right? So I do feel that they're going to either have to deal with it in some way, or we could just leave it as it is. Like, they don't really care. And it's a nice screenshot, which it always has been, right? It's a nice screenshot.
So I think what we should do is start thinking about Apple the way bloggers think about WordPress. No one tries to rank all the traffic in WordPress or WordPress.com. WordPress made us a software. They made it open source. They have a support system, and they said, good luck to you.
Right.
And we, as content creators, get to make whatever we want on it, but we don't really complain too loudly because we know and they know that they're not really making money from it. They make money from WordPress.com, and that's what they support. But they're not going to support you for just downloading their free stuff and using their free stuff. If you have a problem with it, oh, well-ski. And that's really what Apple is for us. We the shows have turned it into something else, but that was kind of dumb of us. We shouldn't have done that. They didn't mean for it to be that. They don't want to do it now. We're complaining to no one. We may as well just like see it as the platform wherein which people can find our show and then try to measure success pretty much any other way. And it would be sufficient and successful, I think.
Correct. No, I think, I completely agree. I totally think that that's, yeah. And if they want to, like, you know, with WordPress.com, they do have a very robust system for support.
They do, but it's also self-supported, like our group.
Right. It's, well, no. What I'm saying is that they also do have a lot of really great support systems that are built inside of WordPress.com now, where you can upgrade to whatever it is that you want to upgrade in, right? So there is that sort of like taking it to the next level, and they've really opened up functionality. Like, and in speaking of, it's so funny, I don't think we talked about it in this show, but speaking of WordPress.com, they actually have made a deal, or Automattic has made a deal, or has invested in Radio Public. How about that? Radio Public, who has an app, is an app for the most part, but they have this really cool app And what I believe is maybe even happening now, and if I am wrong, please correct me, people. You can send me email. And those of you who have a WordPress.com account, one of the hardest things to do inside of a free WordPress.com account is be able to have a player, because they don't support iframe. So there's a lot of players that are not supported in those free accounts. But maybe with this new, you know, allyship with Radio Public, maybe they'll support the Radio Public player. And it's a lovely player. It's very nice. And so now they're giving an opportunity for podcasters to put their shows or their, you know, their players inside of their free accounts, because it doesn't really support anything else. But it's not, it's nice. They see, I just think that they're more visionary, I'm sorry, than Apple sometimes. But
Spotify? They definitely are.
No, not Spotify. Automatic, the parent right. company for WordPress, because they're awesome. They treat their people so well. They're so helpful, and they do some wonderful work with just communities to make for accessibility and education and empowerment and stuff like that. All right, so I think we've beat that one to death.
Really.
Kind of, right?
Interesting,
correct?
And yet,
but
over it.
Alas, though, there's a little bit of news. I know somebody who just got a position as the head of marketing.
Mm-hmm. You do?
Yeah. Over to on podcast websites.
It's me. Yay! I'm so excited.
So what? Tell me. What are you doing? Have you like? What's the scoop? Like, what are the fun things you get to do now?
Oh my gosh. I am in charge of strategizing all the marketing. So podcast websites is currently in the process of making major changes to their infrastructure. They are adding services. They are, what's the word? When you
upgrading?
No, when you split apart and do extra things like diversifying. They're diversifying some of their services. And also, they have a person who creates content, but they don't really have someone who can create like a marketing plan or strategy for every piece of content that is put out. So as a result, they're creating article after article after article, but it goes out and then something new happens, and then it goes out and then something new happens. So they wanted someone who could market it properly, who could elevate their voice in the industry, who could be in charge of like when they do events, merchandise, travel, when they, you know, what things are they supposed to sponsor? What things should they attend? It's really all the marketing. How are they going to deal with social media scheduling? How are they going to deal with, you know, just how to deal with stuff on a larger scale? Like, they have been doing the thing that they've been doing for a while, and they have that part down pat. But now that they're growing, they need someone who can manage the growth part of the marketing, if that makes sense.
That's fun. That sounds so fun.
It's really fun. The one thing I've complained about and having my own business all this time is I never have time to do the part I love the best, which is the marketing. I always am doing the service part of my own jobs and my own companies, but never the marketing part, which is the part I'm really good at. So I sold my agency. It was really good timing. And now I get to do the part that I love to do for a company that I love, that I am not the CEO of. It's kind of the dream. It's the dream, especially because I'm working with people that I really, really love. And they're my friends, and not just people that I like interviewed with and was nervous about. Like, we're really good friends. So it made it great to just be like, hey, do you want to work with us? Sure, that'd be so fun. Yay. And that was it. It was wonderful. It's wonderful. So I'm so happy and excited.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that we talked about too is the challenge of, I mean, obviously the marketing part also comes fairly easily to me in terms of like creativity and all that kind of stuff. And I think the hardest thing that I know as an independent sort of like doer of all the things, which we've done for so long, is that sometimes it's hard when you don't have the people, right? The support, I feel, is going to be life-changing for you to be able to go like, this needs to go out, or can you tweak this a little bit, or you know what I mean?
Yes. To be able to teach someone to be like, no, here's how you do it. No, do it this way. This is the schedule. She'll know it forever. I'll only have to tell her once, and then we can just move on rather than me have to do it every week, or me teaching someone else who's going to disappear. Yeah. Like, I have staff that's going to learn all the marketing tricks, and I'll be able to have a team to work with that like is competent and paid well and all the things that I could never do on my own.
No, so it's so I mean, great. That's like a, it's a dream, dude.
It's a dream. I'm overjoyed.
So I'm excited.
And happy.
So you guys, thank you. Say congratulations to her and check out her work because I think it's in the, is it podcastwebsites.com/blog? Maybe that we can see a lot of the stuff that you're doing or.
That's where my articles will be. And then a lot of my courses and content that I'm creating is in this Podcast Success Academy, which is free. It's just podcastsuccessacademy.com. And they have a free tier that has a lot of my stuff in it right now. So totally free. Check it out. And I'm going to put, I'm adding my sneaky secrets to audience growth next week. And that's totally free.
Well, that's awesome.
They're like little one-minute videos. Yay! I've actually, listen to this, Elsie. I've actually animated the videos. So instead of me just doing it over like keynote type presentation, I made cartoon characters out of the entire team. And now I have us like explaining the concepts in cartoon form.
Oh my God.
It's really funny. To see Mark in a cartoon form is hilarious. And his sister, all of them, to see them in cartoon form is fucking hilarious to me.
I love it so much. Yeah. I think just for that, people should join that Success Academy because that will make you successful to see other people as cartoons. It'll just make you feel just really amazing.
It is really funny, I have to say.
And you know how podcasters love free.
They do. I know. The podcaster motto, if it's free, it's bonus. For me.
That's right. I know. That's pretty
sad. It's so true.
So sad, but true.
It's
correct.
Sad, but true. It is.
Oh, right. Man. So I kind of wanted to touch on a subject that I think that we could that might be helpful to a lot of people, especially, you know, now heading on towards the end of the year. You know, sometimes things happen towards the end of the year, like, you know, vacations or holidays and things like that. But then at any time in your life, there might be something that happens to you or, you know, a life change. A life big
I feel like you're trying to get to something. Are you trying to get
I
at
am
a point?
Trying to get to something. I'm trying to set the scene. I'm trying to set the scene.
You're being delicate.
But there's
delicate.
You're
being very delicate.
I am very being delicate. This is a delicate situation. So
I can't wait.
You know, right now we're in hurricane season and John was talking about a podcaster who essentially had to pack up and then left. And hadn't been able to put out a show. We have a mutual friend that whose child was just diagnosed with leukemia. And
actually, yes, we do.
That was also obviously that's a very unexpected, not a positive thing whatsoever. There's a lot of people who have unexpected deaths that happen in the family or loss of some kind, or maybe. Actually, this is also a disruptor to something good happens, like you get married or, you know, you finally sell your house and you have to move or, you know, like anything like that. Anyway, have a baby, things like that. And so that those are all unexpected things that disturb, for the most part, your schedule as a podcaster to publish, to do your show. And we've had that happen in our show as well.
Yes, we have a couple times.
You know, so that
all
was
me.
Some,
I'm the one with the all things. The drama, if you think about it. But
right. Well, of course, of course.
No, not because of my daughter, but also when I had a baby too. I'm the one that's had every piece of drama in our show so far.
There's
I mean,
so
actually,
many...
you had one slight thing because you were traveling. We had a few little shakes when you were on the road, but mostly it's been my bullshit. But that's cool.
No, but also it was mine too before she podcasts. Like the same thing happened to me with Elsie's yoga class, which is one of the key reasons why I'm not producing that show.
Sometimes
is because
I
had a massive life change. You know, I moved from Los Angeles to Pittsburgh.
Sometimes I forget there was life before she pee.
Yeah. That right. Me too.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jess? How do you think we should deal with, like, what are some practices that you feel are important for us to deal with when we come across a time when we can't publish, when we're, you know, having transitional problems in some way, positive or negative?
I think one of the benefits of being a podcaster and not a content creator in another kind of medium is that you do develop a relationship with your listeners. And so as a result, they're very understanding when you have life things happen to you, and they're very supportive, and they'll even tell you how to deal with it themselves if you ask. But it's been nice to be able to say, hey, this is happening and I'm going to come back later. And they are almost always supportive and nice about the fact that you can't do a show. I mean, our friend who's struggling did mention, like, you know, I know that podcasters have a choice and that if I'm not there, they'll choose someone else. And on some level, that's true. But I think when you are able to establish a long enough relationship with your listeners, they keep you unsubscribed for when you come back. They don't just flip channel to another show. That's not usually how listening works in our medium, which is cool. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, once you've established what you have to do, don't beat yourself up over the fact that you can or can't create the content that you want, because firstly and foremostly, whether you're getting married or dealing with a death in the family, you have to be kind to yourself. Those major events in life are stressful. They are the most stressful events we can have. And so it's always best to do whatever we feel mentally we can do, not just physically, not just time-wise, but can we mentally handle the thing we're signing ourselves up for? And a lot of times that answer is no, even if the physical part is yes. I think being nice to yourself, I mean, understanding that they're very understanding. And then I think creating a plan for coming back so that you don't just wallow or overindulge in the break from it. Or sometimes you can learn from the break that you don't ever want to go back, and that's it. The right. end. That kind of happened to me.
That's exactly, yes, that is really important.
What if you're just over it? Like, I had a baby and I was just over it, and it was kind of great.
And you have to follow that instinct, you know, and talking about it from the LC side, you know, all the organic side of things.
is there an organic side? Like, can't wait to hear what it is.
No, but sometimes the voice.
Oh, yeah.
Is, you know, when you use your voice to communicate, it has a lot more layers than the written word.
That's true.
Is a lot more that is transmuted within this media, which is your voice, than with almost anything else. You can take a picture of yourself, a selfie, and you can edit the crap out of it, use the angles. You can make it look the way that you want it to look so that maybe things look not so bad. You can use, you know, words, you know, graphics with words on it. When you write, you can edit it. A lot of the time, the emotion, yes, obviously there's writing that is incredibly poignant and whatnot, but you can craft it in a way that can give exactly the message that you want. When you are doing that with your voice, it's a lot harder to hide things. Mm-hmm. And that's one of true. The things that I did when I was going through this huge transition for Elsie's yoga class, one of the key reasons that I stopped is because I could not. There was so much transition happening in my life at that moment. I couldn't take the seat of being a teacher.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Total sense.
You know, being responsible and not putting myself out there at that time as having it all together and making sure that I'm leading these classes that are really heartful and solid. And I do feel that a teacher needs to be grounded. They need to hold, they have the capacity to be strong for the class. And I'm not just talking about teaching yoga, but we do, as leaders in behind the microphone, do need to have a certain resonance. And I'm not saying vulnerability isn't something that we need to have. We've been vulnerable on the show many times. Mm-hmm. We have cried on the show. We have shared lots of intimate things on the show. Well, I have cried on the show for sure. John even remembers. But the thing is that it was also done in a place of power for both of us. One of us was holding the other one. We were very clear about what we wanted to do here. But when you are pretending, or you want to say like, hey, everybody, I'll be right back. I just had something go on. You know, you can hear that there's something wrong.
Yeah,
I am a big advocate of just coming behind the microphone and saying, hey, guys, something's come up in my life. If you want to know more, you can check out my blog, or you can check out my Instagram, or you can something like that. You don't even have to say it. I'll be back in 3 weeks. I hope you guys can understand. And you say things like, I know you have a choice. You can still connect with me by, you know, subscribing to my newsletter or whatever, however you feel is the best thing to do. and give them an update when you say. And just like Jessica said, if you're ready to come back, I think you do have to give yourself a date so that you can say, I am ready to come back now, and then really look forward towards that goal.
Even if you have to push it, make a date. I mean, change the date if you want, but have a plan. If you never have a plan, you'll never do it, I think.
Correct. Absolutely. And then if you come to your plan and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm not sure I'm ready, then make it
change the plan.
Like, make another plan. Like, just make a decision. Update right. it. It's there's nothing wrong with you going away. And I have to, and this is really, and I think we talked about this way back. Remember that episode that I think it was like breaking up with your podcast? I remember the title of it, but it was like, I think in year one that we put the show out. And it is really hard sometimes to break up with a show. Like Elsie's yoga class.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I'm still having a hard time. Like, I feel now that that relationship is over. I mean, mind you, it's been 4 years or so. And I'm now really saying that I have pod faded. But for many years, even like 2 years out when I hadn't published anything, I still was like, but I might come back. You know, I might come back because it's hard. I build that. That was my first show. It's got all, you know, so much of who I am now is because of that show. And I'm, you know, but there's a time when you have to let it go. Just you know, with you, like with Lady Business Radio, I'm sure you had some feelings about
I couldn't wait to get rid of it. I was so done. No, in fact, I'm learning this about myself. Well, when I'm done, I have like a house fire sale the second I'm done with something. So like, I wasn't just done. I was like, I'm done. Who wants to buy my stuff? Kind of. It's very weird. Like, same with Emily. Like when, like I see my husband and other people when they have someone pass away, like they keep the other person's stuff in the basement forever. They keep the stuff in the closet. Like, I could not wait to be rid of the things in her house, in the house that were hers, because I just didn't want them here to torture me. I just didn't want to torture myself.
Right.
So yeah, I am the opposite. Once I knew I was done, I was like, I'm done. Close up shop. No more website. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. I was excited to be done, and that was it. But I'm just one of those people. I'm not very sentimental. Once I'm done, I need to be done.
I need, and that's why we work so well, because
yeah,
I mean,
true.
It does. It takes me time to finally clean, you know,
give up,
stop
the dream.
It. Right. It's just like, stop it. Don't. And then I feel that you can have a balance between how Jess deals with it and how I deal with it.
Yeah,
because
true.
They're both extremes. I mean, honestly, it took me like soul searching for me this. I think it was this year. I have to look back on it. But this year I changed all of my social media handles from YoGeek, which was my in quote online persona, if you will. That was what I labeled myself. This mixture between being a yoga teacher and a geek and a somebody who loved all technology. So I came up with that, and that's been my handle in social media for years. And then I changed it to just my name. I changed all of that labeling for me. It no longer is that. But it took me about a week to finally say, okay, I'm going to do it today, because I was so attached to that persona, to whatever that meant. But I had outgrown it. It's like it was clothing that just didn't fit anymore. That's not who I am anymore.
Exactly.
So it, you know, and I think as podcasters, when we go through these life changes, our show may no longer reflect who we were then. Because whenever you do have a death in the family, whenever you go through a near-death experience, whenever you do get married, whenever you become a mom, you actually become, as much as you are yourself, you also are somebody else. And you need to align with whoever you are now. You know, we all evolve. So keep that in mind if you're going through this. And also, I think Jess did a wonderful job at saying, podcast listeners connect with your heart. That's what we do. We connect with people's hearts and souls. And if people go away, they will still be there. They will come back. They will not, if they choose somebody else at that moment, they'll still come back to you. I guarantee it.
Sure.
I mean, I have people still emailing me, or actually I just posted something on the Elsie's Yoga Kula Facebook page. And I had like 3 people comment saying, you're still my favorite yoga teacher. Every single time that I go into whatever space, I still remember what you're saying. They quoted me. They say that they still do my classes. And it's been a decade.
That's cool.
You know what I mean?
That's so cool, though. I love that.
Anyway, yes.
You know, from the podcast listener side, I listen to a podcast And something happened to one of the hosts. I don't know what, but they were in the hospital. They had to have emergency surgery, and they have to. They can't eat anything. Everything has to come liquefied. So I have a feeling there's a broken jaw. There's another surgery involved. The podcast is on hiatus, and that's all I know. The only reason I know that is because I follow them on social media. They're holding their cards close to the vest. I am like, wow, what happened? You know, just because I'm concerned, but they're not telling everybody. So then I have to respect that and say, okay, well, I'm not going to ask, but I'm still going to monitor social media.
But you draw your own conclusions too, which is never, I mean, you may want to be in control of the conversation rather than have people wonder what's happening to you, which is kind of.
Yeah, because it's always, our imaginations can run wild and it could be
worse than what's actually happening.
Yeah, it could be worse. Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. It's just one of those things. Like, I understand they're going through a terrible issue right now. There was an accident and whatever, but I don't know. And, you know, I'm concerned. As a listener, because they have 160-some episodes, and I've listened since episode one.
You know, I will say this, too, and I don't know if this is relevant. I think it is, but we'll see. Another thing that happens when you go through a life change, birth, death, and everything in between, is sometimes you have a bit of an identity crisis. Like, Elsie, it took her a long time to realize, like, I'm not that person anymore. Sometimes people think that right away. Like, I have been having a crazy identity crisis since Emily has been gone. And there have been many days when we're about to record where I'm just like, is this really who I am? Is this still who I am? Should I? I mean, I don't want to quit, but I am like, I don't want to quit the show, but I have wondered if I'm still this person because I feel so not myself. And it has taken just the act of doing it to allow it to continue to be me. Does that make any sense? Like, I feel like I'm not expressing myself.
Yes, it does. It does. And I think the key thing for what you're talking about is that you have to keep voicing it. You can't hold yourself back to what that one thing was. This is who I am. And I think we have to keep on declaring it. I feel the power of being able to label yourself or identify yourself as the most healing power ever. And nobody's going to give you permission for that. I mean, obviously, I think the world does give you permission. You need to take that permit. You need to open into it. And you call yourself that. You say, I am no longer this. I am this. This is how it is. And I think, and I in no way have any, I don't want to generalize this or anything like that, and nor do I have any personal understanding of this at all. But I feel like in a minuscule way, that's what people who are going through trying to figure out what their gender identity is or who they are as people, where the world gives you what they feel that you need to be labeled. And then you kind of go like, I'm not sure I don't think that that's me though. But I think that clarity comes when you can claim it and you can say it and you can say, this is me. And it feels great. It feels great. Like when I finally broke up with being YoGeek, and oh my God, it felt so freeing because then I didn't have people coming up to me going like, oh, you're the yoga girl or you're the yoga teacher, because I had let go of that. I mean, yoga is my life. It informs everything that I do, but I don't lead with that. It's a part of many things of who I am. So it's just, for me, it's very, very freeing to kind of like revisit back who you are. And I think, I mean, just seeing the evolution of your bio, Jess, it made me so happy when I just asked you for your bio. I needed your bio. I needed a quick bio from you and you texted it to me. And just to see the evolution of what you said about yourself when I met you versus now, you know what I mean? I think it's great. We grow. I don't expect you to be who you were before. And I do honestly feel you need to ask your people, tell me who you are again, even if you know them. Like, I've known Jess now for almost a decade. And it's like, I know that you're not the same woman that I met.
No,
right?
Of course
not. You are, but you're not. Right, and we need to help each other do that to really help us reclaim whoever it is that we are now.
And sometimes you don't want to be the person you were, and you kind of have to work through that, which is, I think, what happened to me. Like, when my mother passed away, I was able to quit my job and start my own business. And I didn't have to go back to being the person that I was when she was alive. However, this was a little different. I have an established career. I have two, you know, I mean, I had two children then, but you know, you can't blow your life up every time something terrible happens to you. So I had to be patient. I mean, I knew I didn't want the agency anymore, but that was pretty much all I knew. And so I've just been patient, patiently sitting, going through the motions, doing this show, doing that show, doing the other show, just trying to figure out like when the thing that I'm supposed to do will come to me. And I don't know if like my, you know, when you take a job, it's like, well, is my life's purpose to do this? But part of it is my life's purpose. Mm-hmm. I can feel that it's going to lead to the thing that you can just tell.
Yep.
I feel like I met those people for a reason, and maybe it was to help elevate them, and maybe it was for them to help elevate me. I'm not sure, but it certainly feels like I am becoming who I am supposed to be now, and not, you know, it wouldn't have been able to happen before. I am just completely, it sounds like I'm talking in full riddles to myself.
You're talking like me now, Jess.
I am. But but that's kind of how I feel about it, I guess. Sorry, I'll stop now. I'm starting to, you know, when you start to sound like Elsie, it's time to hang it up.
Well, if you guys have gone through any of transitions like that, why don't you go ahead and send us some feedback over to feedback@shepodcast.com. We'd love to share that with other people, because I do feel that this is an important issue for us to address, and it's a delicate issue. And maybe if we can help somebody, given your specific experience and how you've dealt with transitions and how you've come out the other side.
Yes, we'd love to hear your advice.
I think it would be lovely. So why don't we kind of finish up here very quickly here, but I want to talk about some tool tips real fast.
Okay. Elsie's tool tip.
Just because I talked about this earlier and I kind of didn't want to leave people handing. So the app that I decided to, it's a free app, but I bought the don't do it with a commercials, you know, because I hate those things, is called Time Buddy. And it's available for both iOS and Android. And it's the reason that I like it is because it's kind of all you really need it for. And the reason that I'm going to be using it is to kind of see what everybody's time zone is through the E-League, like what everybody's in alignment with. So let's say I have somebody that's in the East Coast, somebody's on the West Coast, somebody who's in Australia, somebody who's in London. Like, can I start to check times when everybody is in there? And what I love about it is because you can add those time zones, as many as you want, and it's visually super appealing. Like, you can see it all in a row so that you don't have to be – so it's visual, and you have the numbers too. So you can kind of tell. And I – when I found that app, I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. This is exactly what I wanted. So
I like it
that it's on the go as well, because I know I can find this out on the computer. I know. It's fine. But there's something about having
a scheduler too, though.
It is. Right? You can actually send – I think you can send out invites through it or something. But I'm not going to use it for that. I just kind of wanted to see – the times, because it's just too crazy. My head's about to explode when I don't know what's happening here. So that you guys can check it out. That's it. Time Buddy app. And I do believe the upgrade was like $2.99, but it's free. Again, I just don't like ads on my apps. They're super annoying.
I'm going to try it, because I'm constantly trying to figure out. I made the worst mistake yesterday. I'm going to get off a little off topic. So for some reason, ever since I agreed to take this job, so like the past 2 weeks, I have been waking up at like between 4 and 6. And I think it's because I'm hyper aware that my coworkers are starting work, because then it's like 8 or 9. It's like 9 or 10 when I'm getting up. And usually I'll open my eyes and I'll think, why the hell am I awake? And then I just happen to check my phone and someone has either sent me an email, about to send me a text, you know, like I'm starting to be part of a conversation. And it's like my psyche pontificate. I don't know if I'm really psychic or what, but it's been bugging me. So I thought, you know what I should do? I'll just wake up then and work with them as long as I can. And then in the afternoon, I could take a nap or work out or plan dinner. It'll be brilliant. So yesterday I gave it a shot. I happened to wake up at 4:30 and I thought, fuck it, I'm just going to stay up. And it was great until 11 a.m.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, oh my God, I have 6 more hours of work. Shit. It was horrible. I was like, what have I done? Because I had calls like scheduled the rest of the day, and I have a project. I couldn't go back to sleep because of all the – sometimes when you know you have a list of shit to do, you can't just take a nap.
Yeah, you can't turn it off. Yeah.
I still think in my head I've romantic. I mean, I feel like it's possible that I could do this, but not at 4:30 a.m. That was such a mistake.
That was very early. That's kind of very unlike Jess.
But same thing happened this morning, 5 a.m. on the dot. Eyes pop right open.
Oh, wow.
I can't make it stop. Help.
Help. Well, we'll deal with it as we go along.
Anyway, so that's a cool app. So at least this way I'll be able to, yeah. I mean, people who work with people in different time zones can know what the hell time it is. It's awesome.
I know. I love that, the visual clarification. And to close off the show, I think that I just want to mention this really quick for our follow-up on the Weird and Wild Show of the Week.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild. Show of the Week.
So I think that you got this tweet too, right, Jess, from Odd Dad Out at Dodd.
Yes, I did.
So he was like, hey, Elsie and Jess, have you seen this trailer? So way back when, because I think we did have Dirty John as one of the Weird and Wild Shows of the Week. For a while ago. And since now, Dirty John, the podcast, has been made into a Bravo miniseries.
That's right.
And the trailer is out.
Bonkers.
And it's kind of super exciting. And I don't know why I find it so exciting. I think it's because I listened to the show and I was a fan of it. And now it's an actual television show. And I think one of the things that made me happier is when it said, I don't remember what it said on the plate, something about a podcast. Like it said, like a famous podcast or a popular from a popular podcast, or that was one of the plates. Like that was a way that they described it. And I was like, oh, that's so great. You know, like based on the podcast, I don't know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I just thought it was brilliant. So anyway, I just thought that was awesome. And I just want to, and I'll put a link in the show notes so you guys can check it out, because it absolutely made me excited. And thank you, Odd Dad Out, for sharing that, because it's cool.
Yay! Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much to Elsie and John for showing up on time. This has been
kind of
This has been She Podcast. Please leave us feedback at shepodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at She Podcast. And if you would like to support the show, go to patreon.com/shepodcast. The $5 amount gets you access to one-on-one coaching from both me and Elsie during the week in our super squad. So go ahead and check that out. Check out micme.com. And also thank you to our John, even though I already thanked you, for our editor, audioeditingsolutions.com. If you are in need of an editor, he is the biggity bestest. See you next time. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye.